And then he would have talked about the medal he did not win and why he did not win it. "I almost won the Silver Star," he would have said. "How's that?" "Just a story." "So tell me," his father would have said. Slowly then, circling the lake, Norman Bowker would have started by describing the Song Trabong. "A river," he would have said, "this slow, flat, muddy river." He would have explained how during the dry season it was exactly like any other river, nothing special, but how in October the monsoons began and the whole situation changed. For a solid week the rains never stopped, not once, and so after a few days the Song Trabong overflowed its banks and the land turned into a deep, thick muck for a half mile on either side, just muck, no other word for it, like quicksand almost, except the stink was incredible. "You couldn't even sleep," he'd tell his father. "At night you'd find a high spot and you'd doze off, but then later you'd wake up because you'd be buried in all that slime. You'd just sink in. You'd feel it ooze up over your body and sort of suck you down. And the whole time there was that constant rain. I mean, it never stopped, not ever."
"Sounds pretty wet," his father would have said, pausing briefly.
"So, what happened?"
"You really want to hear this?"
"Hey, I'm your father." Norman Bowker smiled. He looked out across the lake and imagined the feel of his tongue against the truth.
"Well, this one time, this one night out by the river, I wasn't very brave."
"You have 7 medals."
"Sure,
7, count 'em. You weren't a coward either."
"Well, maybe not. But I had the chance and I blew it. The stink, that's what got to me. I couldn't take that goddamn awful smell."
"If you don't want to say any more."
"I do want to."
"All right then. Slow and sweet, take your time."
The road descended into the outskirts of town, turning northwest past the junior college and the tennis courts, then past Chautauqua Park, where the picnic tables were spread with sheets of colored plastic and where picnickers sat in lawn chairs and listened to the high school band playing Sousa marches under the band shell. The music faded after a few blocks. He drove beneath a canopy of elms, then along a stretch of open shore, then past the municipal docks where a woman and pedal pushers stood casting for bullheads. There were no other fish in the lake except for perch and a few worthless carp. It was a bad lake for swimming and fishing both. He drove slowly. No hurry. Nowhere to go. Inside the Chevy, the air was cool and oily smelling, and he took pleasure in the steady sounds of the engine and air conditioning. A tour bus feeling, in a way. Except the town he was touring seemed dead. Through the windows, as if in a stop-motion photograph, the place looked as if it had been hit by nerve gas. Everything still and lifeless, even the people. The town couldn't talk and wouldn't listen. "How'd you like to hear about the war?" he might have asked, but the place could only blink and shrug. It had no memory, therefore no guilt. The taxes got paid and the votes got counted and the agencies of government did their work briskly and politely. It was a brisk, polite town. It didn't know shit about shit, and did not care to know.